This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Top of the morning, youth of Melbourne, and welcome to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, we've got a pretty good show lined up. We've got a few interviews going on. Tom, what was the interview that you had lined up for today?
I am excited to tell you Melbourneites that we are interviewing Rob Lloyd from the comedy duo Innes Lloyd later in the show. You'll find out more about that later on. Who else are we interviewing, Bram, later on?
Later on in the show, we've also got artist Nelson Jeffrey coming into the studio.
Fantastic.
And he'll be talking about an exhibition that he's got on this week called Crooked Fist.
Awesome.
It's very action-packed. Also, a couple of topics for the top of the hour. Would you ever print out a photograph in 2018? Is society becoming perhaps a little bit less materialistic? And our number one travel destination, a place simply that we've never visited. But now it is the chats with Smoko right here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land upon which the House of Sin and Studios stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations.
Oh my giddy aunts, that was the giddiest of aunts. We are having a super ballistic time here on Sin 90.7. That was Dance Hall Days by Wang Chung. What a absolute pleasure to my ears that was.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. you know that track?
Yes, I do, yes. Yeah. It just made me laugh for some reason. I don't know why. I thought the title was funny, but just the way you say things sometimes, Ben, just makes me chuckle and puts a smile on my dial.
No worries.
But, fellas, I want to bring something to the table. Not literally, but this is a literal topic, which is quite funny. Photographs. We take photos and selfies and nice candid shots on our phones. Mm. So much so, it's a very non-physical thing now. Everybody, well, it feels like everybody has Instagram or any of those other sites, Tumblr, where you post all your photos on there and that is your digital photo album. But it seems like the physical photo album is a thing of the past. Now, would either of you print a physical photograph and why?
I feel like, personally, for me, it's kind of similar to, like, handwriting a letter or, like, actually posting something to someone.
There's an authenticity, isn't there?
Yeah, well, there's not that there's a sense of authenticity, but there's a sense of, like, this is really special and, like, I'm doing this very deliberately. There's something that's really deliberate about, like, writing a handwritten message, and there's also something really deliberate about printing out a photograph for someone as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, what do you think?
I always think, look at this photograph. Every time I do it, makes me laugh. No, in all seriousness, it must be very, very. You liked that one, didn't you?
That was good. That was good.
We're getting to a point now where we're taking more photos than ever with these smartphones, and it feels like if you go to print it out, obviously, it's going to mean a lot more than what it did. You know, there has to in order for me to spend 10 cents on a photo, it probably has to be something worthwhile. The stress that I have is being a bit of a wrestling enthusiast. I've met a lot of these different talents over the years. Every photo I've got is just on a hard drive and I've backed it up once.
Really?
And I've not printed out any of these photos. And I always think in the back of my mind, if those hard drives go, I'm ruined. I'll never get those photos back.
See, it's funny when I go to conventions and you get to meet famous people there from your favorite shows or films. And I get photos with some of the guests. Sometimes if there's someone I really want to see, I'll get a photo taken with the guests. And it's nice because you kind of get to meet them, chat to them for a couple minutes, and then you get your photo taken. It's great fun. I recommend anyone who ever wants to do it one day, definitely do it. But they always give you a physical copy of the photo, and I've got mine up on my wall when I look up every now and then. When I look in that area of the room, I go, oh, that was cool meeting that person.
And if you're lucky, they'll also sign it too.
They will, yeah.
One thing about doing those professional photos, they're insanely strict. Like, they won't retake it unless your eyes were closed or something. So there's kind of a bit of pressure that you're going to nail it first go.
There is, yeah. It's kind of a bit like a comedy sketch. Like, you focus on what you're going to do, and then you sneeze mid-shot, and then it's hilarious.
It's done.
Yeah. And then you look at that photograph, and every time it makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Awesome. So today's show, it's going to be an absolute ripper. And now we are just going down, down, down. And we're going to go down, down with various asses. Here on 90.7.
Get Serial with Ben,
Tom,
and Bram
on Sin 90.7. Oh my goodness, just like that, the song's done. That track just got out of there so quickly, didn't
it? Done and dusted.
It's good stuff. Hello, you're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram.
Hello.
So thankful to have you listening to us here this morning. And I don't think you're going to regret it. Those tracks, Various Arses with Down Down. Yes, you did hear that correctly. And the Lemonheads as well, their song Ballarat. Here we go, gentlemen. It was on my mind all week. Retail's
simmering
down.
Away.
Yes, I was kind of simmering away. We know that the retail market is down. We know that online is the next big thing, but I'm wondering, as a society, are we coming a little bit less materialistic? Do we not buy as much as we once did?
Well, Ben, I'm glad you've asked, because I have this mojo that I really enjoy. There is something, it's probably just me, but I think a lot of people can relate to this as well. I really enjoy the pleasure of going somewhere with the intention of buying something, going into the shop, being greeted by the person who runs the shop, be it clothes or music or multimedia or a book or something. There is something really nice about customer service, which I really appreciate, and I think it goes a long way and definitely puts something very positive on the rest of your day as well.
I feel like I kind of agree with Tom, but in the sense that, like, whenever I go into a shop or whatever, I feel like I've already got a really clear idea of what I want to get, and I will sort of be heat-seeking missile style, head in, grab it, pay for it, and get out. But, and I feel like I'm going to be mentioning this a lot in the show just because it's been on my mind a lot, but I feel like I actually moved house over the weekend, and I feel like that was a really great example of just how much I threw away and how little is in my room at the moment, and I'm like okay with that.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. It reminds me of a time I went into a clothes shop, and I thought, yeah, I've done well. I'm going to buy myself a nice shirt or something. I think I had something coming up. I was going to a gallery opening, so I wanted to wear something that was nice, and it was summer, and I needed something that looked kind of bright. And,
did you get a floral shirt?
I think I did in the end, but this shop assistant was helping me out. She was really nice, and she gave me a few shirts that she recommended. And I was looking at them. I was having a bit of a twirl in the changing room. And she says, oh, you can come out if you like. There's a mirror out here. You can go for a bit of a walk and a wander.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, sure, let's do that. And I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm kind of looking at it. And I always really appreciate the opinion of someone else. So I go, what do you think? And she's kind of lost looking at it. And she goes, yeah, it looks hot. Okay. What? She goes, I mean, it looks good.
It looks good. Well, I'm just thinking, we've got Jeffrey Nelson coming in for an interview at 8:30. Maybe if you go to the art exhibition that he's got on, you can wear the shirt.
I can, indeed.
You'll be the most...
And get other random people telling you that you're hot.
Yeah, oh, thanks, guys.
And then people will be looking at the artwork, and then they'll get distracted, and they'll just be looking at your shirt, and he'll probably get very angry at you.
Maybe I should wear something that's a bit more easy to blend in.
How the exhibition starts out, I don't know if there'll be much visual distraction. More on that later at the interview, though.
I find I'm one of those people, I very much struggle to get rid of things. Like, completely. It's a bad trait of mine.
Yeah.
It's not borderline hoarding, but I've never, like, every disc I've ever bought, I've never gotten rid of just pretty much anything.
I really feel like, and I know that some of you will know this, I think when you find something that you know you really enjoy, whether it's a favourite movie or book or something, that it's very easy to recommend it to someone as well. So I love to give something on.
Absolutely. And more to come in just a moment, but for now, it's Kalela Enemy, right here on Get Serial Tuesdays, with Ben and Tom.
Tuesdays.
Get Tuesdays, love it. Love Enemy here on Sin 90.7. Get Serial with Ben,
Tom,
and Bram
on Sin 90.7.
Hey, it's Tuesday with Ben, Tom and Bram on Get Serial 90.7. That was Enemy by Kalela. You Keep on Looking, I Do Indeed by Gary Wilson. And we're having a bit of a turnover with Fugazi. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Did I, Bram?
Fugazi, but like Fugazi. Not too far off.
We're certainly in the Bram hour of music at the moment. Bram, what was behind some of these song choices?
It's a bit of a Bram jam.
Well, I guess I just have a really wide taste in music. I just love all kinds.
It's good.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. And I also did want to get a few sort of small local acts onto the show today as well, which I did with various arses. She's sort of, well, they're...
You heard that correctly.
Yeah, you heard that correctly. And they recently performed, I think it was last month, at this magazine launch for Swampland magazine, which it's a fairly recent, fairly underground music journalism publication that operates out of Melbourne, and they're doing some really cool work at the moment.
Mm.
So, yeah. Mm.
There's definitely all sorts of various artists here on... That is artists here on Sin 90.7. Fellas, I want to bring a topic to you. Something that I really have thought about. I come to think about it, I haven't really travelled a lot, but I would love to travel. And I kind of think about, where would I like to go? Where's a destination I've never visited? And where's a destination you guys have never visited?
Hang on, have you never been out of Australia?
I've been out of Australia once on a holiday to Fiji.
Ah, yes.
I was quite young. Yeah. It was quite a touristy holiday, but I think I'd love to go out and explore a little bit further beyond that.
Yeah.
I've gotten to that point in my life where I'm like, I'm not really interested in the five-star resort kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, nah.
I would happily go backpacking across somewhere and just stay in a hostel and eat all the good food and then do the scooter riding or walking or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, no, I feel like living in a city like Melbourne, seeing all the tourist traps that are here, me especially, I feel like I've sort of grown up to despise tourist traps whenever I go travelling. Which is really weird for me to say because I ended up going down to Dark Mofo in Hobart. It's this art festival that happens every year for 2 weeks.
Hmm.
Not necessarily a tourist trap in like the conventional sense, but at the same time, like when I went down there, I stayed at a hostel and it was a fun time.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's funny. Whenever I leave to go anywhere, I'm a public transporter.
Oh, yeah.
By heart of nature. But I live right near a really big Melbourne tourist destination, which is Puffin Billy. Mm-hmm. And I literally have to walk down the platform at Puffin Billy to get anywhere, to get to the station. And when you're around the 10 o'clock mark or anywhere beyond that during the day, there will always be tourists. And I have couples and groups walking up my driveway going, is this the national park or the Grand's Picnic Ground? I'm like, no, sorry, this is my house. This is private property. And my dogs scare them off. So that's all good.
Well, that's all right. Look, we have to pick a place. I've been fortunate. I've been to a lot of places. I've been to America like 5-6 times. Been to New Zealand, Germany, England.
That's
Island,
awesome.
Island, all that good stuff. Japan.
Yeah.
Everyone says it. I would like to get there.
Japan
one day.
Would be pretty cool.
Yeah. It looks so crowded. Everything is a million lights. I don't know. Lights excite me, especially in the dark.
Mm.
And yeah, it just looks like an absolutely fascinating spot to visit.
I reckon jumping on that bandwagon, I'd love to explore all the different regions of Asia. I think that'd be fantastic.
I would be so keen to go to London. London would be pretty
it's
cool
awesome.
Place to visit.
Yeah,
and you
there.
Could spend forever there and not get bored.
You could.
That's it for that. That's it for that discussion. If you've got anywhere that you've wanted to travel but you've never visited, make sure to tell us on our social media. We've got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat under the handle Get Serial. And now our next track is Tanya Tagak with Aorta. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Serial Tuesdays.
Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram here on Sin 90.7. Quite a few tracks to get your head around there. Tanya Tagak with Aorta, Samsara as well with Speaking Fire, and Lights with Skydiving from the 2017 album Skin and Earth. Here's the most crazy thing. That album that Lights did, she hand-drew a 150-page comic that you could buy in four separate issues, and the artwork is absolutely outstanding.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's meant to be like a companion piece to the music. So I just thought that was worth sharing.
That's a really cool, I guess, thing to have.
I just love when artists go sort of that extra length to, like, well, I guess, recognise the appreciation that their fans have. So last year, Father John Misty released his record Pure Comedy, and I think it was last year. Yeah, no, it was last year. And there was a special edition vinyl release that came out, and it was incredible. It sort of, like, the artwork was, like, sort of multi-layered. Like, it was sort of, like, cut out in different layers, and they were all on top of each other. And then when there were also, like, lots of really special sort of tidbits that they had as well, which normally happens with vinyl releases, but this really just went the extra mile.
It's always awesome when they go above and beyond in the packaging, like, especially for people who like to physically still buy vinyl records or so forth.
There's something cool about them.
Oh, there is, absolutely. The other weird thing with that Lights track is I always call her Lights from Canada. I never call any other artist from where they're from, but for her, I always seem to do that. I don't know why. Maybe I like Canada a lot. Who knows?
What about Boards of Canada from not Canada?
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
Ooh, ah. Plenty coming up in the next hour. We've got some stuff we're looking forward to. I'm going to review the uni reunion that I was at on Saturday night, so stay tuned for that. And we've also got an interview with Innes Lloyd as well. Tom, you're just chomping at the bit to intro this next track, aren't you?
I am indeed.
Well, it's Wu-Tang Clan, isn't it?
It is indeed.
He was so excited about it that he froze when I gave him the opportunity to do it.
It was a moment beyond dream.
The track is called Cream, and just a bit of a language warning on this one. For those sensitive with the language, this track might have a couple of expletives here or there. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with...
Top of the morning, we're pulling the rabbits out of the top hat today because we got lots of wondrous, whimsical things lined up for you listeners at home, on the road, or wherever you may be, in the hot air balloon or in the ground. Who knows where you could be? I don't know. But the important thing is you're listening to Sin 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram on Get Serial Tuesdays. What a start of the morning it's been so far. We've talked about things such as has materialism become out of fashion? Do we print photographs? And where will we go on a holiday? Some of us need a holiday, some of us don't. But where will we spend our time if we've got to choose anywhere in the world? Coming up in the next hour, we'll find out what on earth did I dream about last night. But we have a very exciting interview with none other than Rob Lloyd from the comedy duo Innes Lloyd. We'll be talking to him about his show coming up, happening tonight at the Butterfly Club, in fact. Innes versus Lloyd. More on that later. But for now, Disappear. Tonight Alive on Sin 90.7.
Get Serial with Ben,
Tom
and Bram
on Sin 90.7. Get Serial Tuesdays. Hello, it's Ben, Tom and Bram here. Thank you again for joining us. Hi, hello. Now, gentlemen, late in the show last week, I asked the question, what are we looking forward to for the week ahead? And I mentioned that I was going to a uni reunion and I was going to bring it up on the air. Mm. Thanks for asking. We had an absolutely lovely night. It was very, very good.
It was on my mind, don't worry.
We were all drinking champagne. All the gentlemen were all in suits. The girls were wearing some lovely dresses. Truth be told, I didn't go. something came up last minute. And I had to change my plans because initially, Tom, if you recall, you, Shannon and I were meant to have drinks on Saturday night.
We were.
But I couldn't make it for the uni reunion. And then I had to cancel that as well.
Right.
Yes. So essentially what ended up happening is I got a ticket last minute to see George St. Pierre, who's like a dedicated UFC fighter. He was doing like a big talk in the city. And I said, well, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I went to that. So I'm sorry to the people that I missed at the uni gathering. I heard
if you're listening.
Yeah, that's right. I heard it was a great night. And I would have loved to have gone. Hopefully we reschedule again.
In the next 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. But 10 years. Yeah, that's right. Everyone will look a lot more older and more disheveled and so forth. But when was there ever a night planned where you decided something else kind of just got in the way or you got a little bit busy?
I might... Tom, what do you reckon? You've got nothing? No? You,
well, let me explain.
Your life is really well planned out.
It is.
Let me explain. I had a month worth of activities in the one night. I'm not even joking. Yikes. I could have gone up to Phillip Island for a friend's birthday, Tom and Shannon, to have a sneaky meal. I went to this event. I had the uni reunion, and there was also a concert on the same night. Don't you really get frustrated when all these plans could have been spread out over consecutive Saturdays, and they're not?
Now, look, I'm the kind of person who loves to be at every event, and if I make an appearance, be it a big one or a small one, I like to make the appearance, make the person, if it's a birthday or something special, feel validated, and then I go to the next thing. And there have been times where I've had maybe 3 to 4 things in the one evening, and I'd make sure I'd make some kind of appearance at each of them. And it's happened in the past.
And then once you've made that appearance, your work is done.
My work is done, and then I disappear in a cloud of smoke, never to be seen again.
I feel like when it comes to uni reunions, I've sort of made a bit of a point of never going to a high school reunion ever.
Oh, come on.
Sorry to, like, all the people that I went to high school with, but I'm a completely different person. Uni reunions, I would probably consider more, but yeah, that's just me.
Yeah, it was just going to be a very casual night. We'd all catch up, have a bit of a chat and so forth.
Bit of a sneaky lemonade.
Have an excellent time. But I understand it is rude to simply get essentially a better offer and take it and do that on the night, which I did. I'm probably not super proud of
that's it. That's not rude at all. But like, it's your night.
I think it is a little rude.
It's your night.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I let them all know I wasn't coming.
What I can say, Ben, it's your life. And this next song that's coming up is called It's My Life by Bon Jovi. You're listening to
But before Bon Jovi, though, Tom... the preset's actually playing at Meredith. We do have to mention this. I asked where Meredith was, and it's Meredith, Victoria. So we're going to hit their track first. It's the preset's This Boy's in Love. Woo, here we go. Get Cereal with Ben,
Tom,
and Bram.
Oh, indeed. It's my life. It's your life as well. And you're spending your life very well this morning. You're listening to Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram. Have to mention those tracks that we just heard there. The Priest, This Boy's in Love. They're appearing at the Meredith Music Festival, located in Meredith, Victoria, playing with a bunch of big names, actually. The Breeders, Billy Bragg, Yeji, who we're going to play a little bit later on as well, and many, many more. And we had a bit of an old school classic there, Bon Jovi, It's My Life.
You know what they say, I life, you life, we all life.
That's right.
That's correct.
Oh, that was awesome. Last week on the program, I did mention the fact that I was excited for the Unify Music Festival. So they did announce it, and for my taste, the lineup minus Carnival, it just wasn't quite for me. It was for many other people. However, there was a lot of frustration at the festival simply because one of the four headliners, they were announced, the tickets went on sale, and then the next day they were pulled due to some controversial comments made by the lead singer. And Tom, this is interesting. These comments were made on Twitter about 3-4 years ago.
Right on.
And people have just dug deep, brought up these comments, posted them all over social media.
The deepest, darkest corner of the internet.
Yeah, and he did apologise for these comments. They were hurtful. But all of a sudden, the band has got themselves off the lineup, and many people said they bought tickets just to see them. and now the whole refund issue is a bit of a disaster. And what's your take on that? You got to be careful with what you say on the internet.
I think you have to be very aware of your digital footprint and whatever you put on there, and that you're not going to put down anyone at all that is either in fellowship with you or artists that you work with or a band. You can never say anything negative. You can only praise, because that will open many doors and get you to many places.
That's right. I've always had the opinion that a thumbs up can get you through life.
Absolutely.
Like, I reckon even if, for whatever reason, I couldn't speak, a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Well, the thumbs down would probably just annoy people. I'd get myself bashed.
People up in arms, I think, rather than a thumbs up.
Yeah, it'd get people a little frustrated. Tom, you've never been to a music festival, have you?
I haven't, and it's something I need to change very soon. So if you have any recommendations, listeners, of any music festivals I should go to, hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'd love to go to a music festival. So recommend me one, and I'll trot along.
Yeah, we'd certainly love to know your favourite festivals, because there's so many. It feels like there's more and more every single year.
Absolutely.
And they're a lot of fun, but you feel so exhausted once they're over. Like, when you get back home, you just, I need to sleep. I'm so done. Been standing for 10, 11 hours, at least I do. I'm one of those suckers that as soon as I get on it, that's it. I literally can't stop with the music. And I'm like, I should probably rest or eat something or have a drink, and I don't. There you have it. Bram, have you been to any music festivals?
Not necessarily a music festival, but I feel like it did sort of change my viewpoint on music festivals. Like, before I went, I did kind of think of them. I'm going to be very blunt. I initially thought of them as kind of trashy, because I'm always like a venue person. Like, I like seeing one specific band at a venue. Yeah, yep. But I mentioned this earlier in the show, but I went down to Dark Mofo a couple months ago now, actually, and that was an incredible experience, just sort of being there. Like, it wasn't a conventional music festival, it was a more of an art festival, but just being in this, like, city the size of Geelong over the course of 2 weeks and just being able to see so many great acts. I saw St. Vincent, Alice Glass.
Oh, wow. So cool.
Yeah, just tons of really incredible musicians perform.
I remember uni a few years back, St. Vincent was a name that was kind of going around, but she wasn't too mainstream at that point. Not to say her music is very mainstream, but she's done well for herself.
Because
I feel like everyone knows who she is now.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, power to her. She's doing really well. Yeah.
Well, you are listening to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. So thankful to have you joining us. It's time for the news. It is 7:30.
Thanks for that, April. Just listening to some of those headlines, I would find it really embarrassing if I was an athlete or if I was an actor alive, I was having my shining moment and all of a sudden I just have a nosebleed on stage or in front of 1,000 people. How would you find that?
I can't even... I don't know what I'd do, especially in this situation where she's running a marathon. She was favourite for the race, so expected to do well. And then all
watching.
Of a sudden, she's got
blood. You got something that like has to stop.
And
like,
it's not
stops
like
you.
It's not like she can just stop running and wait for it to stop and then join back in the race.
You've got to keep running, and like you've got to have tissues at the ready and just keep running.
Keep them in the pocket. Oh, you wouldn't have pockets, but if you did, it'll be sweet.
Have people like in the crowd handing you tissues.
Here you go, here's your tissue box.
Yeah. No, it would really suck to be in that situation, especially like if it's being broadcast, because like that's live.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up, stay tuned. We've got an awesome interview planned with none other than Rob Lloyd of Innes Lloyd fame.
Woo!
He's part of a comedy duo which are performing tonight at the Butterfly Club. You can hear more about that later, just after this song on Sin 90.7. Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men. You're listening to Sin 90.7. Welcome. It's a Tuesday morning. It's a bright morning. And it's a very exciting hour. On the line, we have Rob Lloyd from the Innes Lloyd comedy duo. He's listening right now. Rob, hello. How are you?
Good morning. How's everything going there in Radioland?
Doing very well, doing very well. Now, Rob, you're a Melbourneite actor. You've been on TV. You've done shows here at Channel 31, and you've been touring the world. Tell us about this show, Innes Lloyd.
Well, myself and Mr. David Innes have been doing the comedy funnies for about 5 years now. What we've mostly been working on is doing one-off celebratory shows, so like celebrating the 30 years of Ghostbusters or Back to the Future 2. This year, we did the 30th anniversary of Red Dwarf. So we wanted to do something a little bit different, is like as a middle of the year, winter, warm-up sesh. So we're doing a completely improvised comedy show. We first met doing improvisation years ago, but we've mostly moved into scripted comedy and with little dabbles of improvisation. But we thought we'd try and create a format, a completely new format, which is all based on improvisation. So that's what this show is about.
Rob, I'm curious, with improvisation, is there ever a sense of, like, the fear of the unknown? Like, where it's almost like a bit of stress, like someone might pick a topic out and you're just like, oh man, I know absolutely nothing about this.
Well, that's the great thing about improvisation. There's always that inherent nervousness and fear of being an actor and a performer, of forgetting your lines, or the common classic dream is you dream that it's opening night of a performance and you've just been given this role just before opening. You don't know anything, so that's the fear that we all have as actors. Also, mine is I'm in the center of the stage doing the lead role and I'm nude for no apparent reason. That's more about me. So with improvisation, if you do it long enough and consistently enough, you learn to embrace that nervousness and that fear, and so you can take whatever suggestion you get and shape it into something. Obviously, there are some, like, we as improvisers sort of like develop a sort of like a category of topics that you kind of avoid, because there's just some people just call out suggestions just to get elicit a response, and sometimes we you can divert those away. There's some, like, topics you want to avoid that are a bit too dark, a bit too vulgar, but everything else is pretty much on the table, and you can shift it and shape it and see what interesting things you can do with it, or how you can just tell a really simple, straightforward story.
This is Bram here. I actually did improv in high school myself, and I'm totally hearing what you're saying with a lot of this, especially with people sort of overdoing certain topics because they know that they're controversial, and I hear a lot of what you're saying. Do you have any sort of tips at home for any aspiring improvers out there?
Go out and see as much as possible. Go see it. And Melbourne's become quite a hub for improvisation over the last couple of years. We've got many improvisation groups working around. You've got the Impromptunes, you've got Big Hoo Ha, you've got Melbourne Impro, you've got Improv Conspiracy doing so many variations of improvisation, you've got the My Little Puppet Show, you've got many improv groups out there. So see as much as you can, and you can start to pick and choose what style of impro you'd like. You don't need to just conform to one style of making stuff up on stage. You can find little bits from all companies until you become happy with the style that you like.
Now, there's two things I want to mention about this show in particular that's happening this week. It's a bit of a sidestep from your normal regime of tribute shows, but the show in question in the title is Innes versus Lloyd. Walk us through that.
Yeah, well, we were trying to come up with a different way of presenting improvisation as opposed to just, two middle-class white guys standing up and doing improvisation, because I think we've kind of pretty much, dominated the impro scene. That type of that type of person has been in charge of info for a long time, and I think it's a good thing to see that there are other variations on the palette takeover, which is good to see. Sure. We like a bit of diversity. But for us as performers, we wanted to find a way to tackle impro in a different way. Now, my favourite rule of improvisation is make the other person look good. The worst thing about, especially when you first learn improvisation in high school, you just think, this is where I can just make stuff up and I can be the centre of attention. But the more you do it, you find out actually it's about how you can work with other people and how you can take their ideas, be inspired by their ideas, and work together. So when you learn that classic Second City improv rule of make the other person look good, all ego goes out the wall, out the door, and you're just there working with somebody else. So taking the title Innes versus Lloyd, we're sort of like flipping it on its head. So we're still very much about making the show the best it can. and making each other look good, but we wanted to bring in an element of competition to see, frankly, who's the better performer. And we want the audience to decide, because, you know, I've been saying it for years because of my experience and my age, and Innes has been saying it with his pomp and ceremony, that we couldn't decide, so we're giving it the audience the chance to ultimately decide who do they like best, you know. Parents can't decide who their favourite child is, but an audience can definitely decide who their favourite Innes Lloyd member is. So we're going to be challenging each other to games, to scenes, to solo scenes, to audience-involved games, to specific surprise challenges, and throughout the course of it, the audience will give us points or scores, and at the end of the show, we will know who is, in fact, the best out of Innes Lloyd. So it's high stakes. That's what we want to bring to the table. We want to bring high stakes.
Now, just quickly, Rob, it is Innes versus Lloyd indeed. It's happening at the Butterfly Club tonight at 6 o'clock. You have to definitely let us know, why Rob Lloyd over David Innes in terms of tonight's performance? Why do you think you're going to have the edge on him?
Look, it's all about experience. Experience over just blind youthful enthusiasm. He's a young pup, you know, just barely in his 30s. He's barely seen the world. He's barely experienced what, you know, the fruits of life can really give you when you blend it all together into a juice of inspiration. Whereas my, you know, 15 years of experience with on the hallowed turf that is improvisational comedy scene in Melbourne, up there with some of the top 20 improvisation troupes in the world, I know, right up there with Reykjavik, with their improvisation troupe. I know that's a big call. So, you know, do you want to go with youth and inexperience, or do you want to go with, you know, with someone you can trust? It's all about trust, guys. Trust when you get onto a stage. You want to trust that the show will go well, that the performer will look after you. I am a soft, firm hand that you can hold through this adventure of comedy improvisation.
Love it. Thank you very much, Rob. All the best with the show. I look forward. It's going to be nice and competitive. And you can catch Innes versus Lloyd at the Butterfly Club from Tuesday through to Saturday. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. This track, it's Yeji, Rain Girl. We'll be back with more soon. Yeji, making it rain here this morning with the track Rain Girl. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Awesome. Awesome you're joining us here this morning.
Great stuff.
Tom, this was something that's worth bringing up. The fact that when was the last time...
Sorry to interrupt you, boys. Good morning, everyone.
Blake.
I know. Sorry, guys. Hey. Just popping off without...
Didn't know you were in the studio.
No, you wouldn't. But I believe we have an Innes on the phone.
David Innes!
Yes, the one, the very only, and indeed the same.
Oh, my goodness. David Innes.
Welcome.
Thanks so much for joining us on the program. Now, hopefully you might have just heard Rob Lloyd. He was getting a little bit competitive there at the end. I was kind of curious on your take on what he said.
Well, look, when you can just fart out charm like he does, you know, you think that you can ride this show, you know, he thinks he can. He's you know, he's got an article in the Doctor Who magazine. He thinks he's the coolest man ever. But I tell you, I am organized. I'm funny. I always have a pen. I assure you that I am in the middle of a rigorous training regime right now, and he is going down. He is going down like a clown.
You heard it here first, folks.
David Innes, we've heard from Rob why he should be the one that everyone votes for. What are you going to bring to the game?
Oh, well, I'm going to bring my my bevy of high-status characters, each one more high-status than the last. I'm going to bring my my nervous rocking backwards and forwards host-style manner. and I'm going to bring surprises that will shock and amaze.
Who do you think out of the two of you would be the most confident performer? Or is that just a silly question?
I think you'll find that it'll have to be me. But I imagine if you were to measure both of our levels of confidence, you would not have a spectrometer detail accurate enough. You would not have. You would need to put the results into the synchrotron at Monash Clayton to be able to get the exact precise measurements of who is the most competent. We are, in fact, neck and neck. Ooh. Or other body parts equivalent.
It sounds tough. For those who have just tuned in, you may be very, very thoroughly confused. Dave, tell us how Innes Lloyd came about.
So Innes Lloyd was the combination of two superpowers of comedy. One, a charming host of the nerd variety, and then me. And so we joined forces. We came as a comedy duo that we specialize in nerd-related paraphernalia, our one-off shows. Which you can also see at the Butterfly Club, just like this show here, was something that we've done, and we thought, well, we want to put it to the test. You've got people who come to these one-off shows because they love Rob's banter, and then there's some people who come to our shows because they love my hat facts, and now we want to see who is indeed the best performer, and also to have a rollicking good fun time in the meantime.
I always love a good hat fact, but it seems like in all your past shows, you and Rob have both been in league with each other. Why the sudden change of heart?
Well, I think it just got to a point where, you know, like all duos, we get to a point where if we don't test each other, it could mean that we crumble. We could become, you know, the Simon without Garfunkel, the Hall without Oates, the Huey without the News. You know, we want to make sure we don't have this problem. We want to settle this as mature adults and immature performers.
Now, it's important that the audience doesn't kind of pre-make their mind up before they vote at the end on who did the best show. But, Innes, I have to confirm this. Are you as much of a Living Daylights fan with Tim Dalton as I am? Because Tom mentioned this, and I think I might have already worked out who I'm voting for.
Well, yes. I mean, it is quite clear. I mean, you know, a lot of people might throw out Goldfinger. Some people might throw out Goldeneye and anything else related to gold. But it's the no fluffing around of Timothy Dalton's Bond in The Living Daylights, given the context that previous to that, we were subjected to sleazy Uncle Moore, also out of View to a Kill, that I would say The Living Daylights is one, if not the best, then definitely a one-off.
Well, Tom and Bram, I've made up my vote.
You found the way to Ben's heart.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, there you go. I'm glad that my 1987-related Bond films get to your heart.
For those who would love to see Innes versus Lloyd, Dave, where can we find tickets?
You can find tickets on the Butterfly Club, not the Butter Club Fly. Don't go there. Don't go to the Butter Club Fly. That's just a large pile with insects sort of buzzing around it. And it's all made out of butter. But no, the Butterfly Club website. You can even just Google up Innes Lloyd Butterfly Club. You will find up as the first entry there.
Awesome, awesome. David, thank you so much. And may the best man win.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. We're going to another track by Lance Peel. You're listening to 90.7.
You know those songs that just completely make you mourning? I think I just had that moment with that song. That was amazing. I'd never heard that before. That was Lance Peel with Cicadas.
Great song. Melbourne artist. He's listening right now. Hello, Lance.
Hello, Lance. Massive thanks for the song. We very much enjoyed it on the program here this morning. Now, Tom...
Yes, Ben.
It's that segment on Get Serial Tuesdays. We're around this time. We're going to ask the question, what on earth did you dream about last night?
Did Tom dream about last night?
Ugh, what a weird dream.
How can you be sleepy if you don't know how to have dreams?
No, I don't want to know. I don't want to know how to have dreams. No! No!
Dreams are a movie that live in your head.
Stop!
Every night when you sleep in your bed. You can have a dream about riding a horse.
No!
Or you can have a dream about drowning in oil.
No! 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 No more songs!
you know those dreams that you have and you just wake up in the middle of the night and go, what on earth just happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
This is one of those. I was at a concert. It was this big stadium. Like, imagine, like, MCG Etihad Stadium, that kind of size, flooded with people. People everywhere, as far as the eye can see. It feels like the whole of Melbourne went to this stadium, but it's in the middle of a desert. And I'm like, this is a little strange, but we'll go see who's playing, who's rocking at the clock. And there was this guy with jet black hair, like really long hair and kind of like John Lennon glasses. And he was strumming away. And just all of a sudden, he stops and the whole audience just looks in. And he just projectile vomits everywhere.
Oh.
But it's not any ordinary projectile vomit. It's this weird mix of red sticky jelly and some green sticky jelly and some yellow sticky jelly as well going everywhere. And it amalgamated together in this weird kind of blobby thing and turned to this creature, a little bit like Slimer of Ghostbusters. And it was climbing across the floor, off the stage, and just consuming people. And he was just saying in his weird satanic voice, I come from the jelly factory. And I was running. I'm not going to be eaten by this jelly monster. So I'm running out of the stadium. And I'm running for a while because I'm in a desert. Remember, I'm in the middle of nowhere. And sitting on this rock was this ghost of this little white blobby thing. And he said, beware the jelly factory, Tom. Beware the jelly factory. And right before me was this looming factory with all this colourful steam coming out. So I decided the best thing to do is go in and stop this hogwash. So I stepped in.
And stopped the hogwash?
No. There were these vats of jelly, and I looked in, and there was this face on the jelly. It was this big blobby creature, like the one that was projectile vomited out of the mouth of the singer.
Ew.
And I had this little antidote that was in my pocket. Lucky I took it with me, and I think it was tea, and I poured it in. And it started to sizzle him away, and this monster was going, no, 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 as he slowly turned to tea, and his face just went, ah, that's better. And I had a really, really big cup of tea after that, the whole vat, in fact, and it was really good, and I just woke up, and I really needed to go to the loo after that, so that's exactly what I did. So that was that dream for this week.
Wowee. Where does it rank up there for you?
Oh, it's pretty high, but I don't think it beats the Paul's milk dream from last week.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. It turned into a commercial and so forth.
It did.
Bram, do you,
product placement.
Bram, do you ever remember your dreams at all? Or
I feel like my sort of dream memory is really weird because I hardly ever remember them. And when even if I do remember them, it'll only really be for those, like, first 2 hours of the day. And if I do want to, like, have it as a solid memory, I'd have to write it down or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I barely ever remember them. And Tom did mention this and you just mentioned it then. Yeah, if I don't write it down in the first 5-10 minutes, it's out of my brain.
Yeah, it's
I've
gone.
Lost it. Yeah, but I've had some pretty bizarre ones. Well, thank you so much. So much. Thank you for joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with
mate.
Ben, Tom and Bram. In just a moment, we're going to be off to the news with April. Hey, 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 top of the morning. You're joining us and on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. So much to discuss in this final hour of the program. But before we get there, we have to mention Innes Lloyd, who we had them both on the show. They were talking about their stand-up improvisation show. That's
a bit of a chin-off there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was good stuff. Innes versus Lloyd at the Butterfly Club on Tuesday through to Saturday. You can catch it tonight at 6 p.m. But coming up in the next hour, I'm sitting in the quiz hot seat. We're going to test my knowledge, especially on a specialist topic of mine, Metallica. We've also got an interview with an artist maker Nelson Jeffrey. Very much look forward to hearing his insights into the artwork he's produced and the upcoming exhibition, Crooked Fist. You might say that he doesn't lack any imagination, and nor does East with her song, I Don't Lack Imagination, here on Sin 90.7.
Good morning, Youth of Melbourne. That was East with their total banger of a track, I Don't Lack Imagination. You have joined us at the right time, because any time's the right time when Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7.
Yeah, it's almost embarrassing just how top quality this show is.
No. We're pretty humble about it. We go, it's all right.
It's okay content.
No, in all seriousness. Yeah. Sorry, Bram.
That's all good. So, do any of you guys have hidden talents?
I can fit my whole fist in my mouth.
You're kidding me.
I won't do it now because it's pretty gross, but it's something I can do. It's a bit of a party trick.
That's crazy, though.
And the Nelson Jeffries coming in for his art exhibition, Crooked Fist. Nah, it's probably not worth showing him. It might just weird him out.
He might run away and leave.
Yeah. You'll have to show us that sometime.
Yeah, maybe after the show I might show you if you're lucky.
Okay, so I am really good at eating on the run. So, like, if I've got something, I'm really busy that day, I can just like have my food with me, just as I'm walking, or if I'm like on the tram or on the train. I remember being heading home from a party a few weeks ago now. I had a kebab on me, and it was the cleanest that I had ever eaten a kebab. Wow. I spilt literally nothing, which is like, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I guess that's my hidden talent.
Wow. I've got two. The first really good party trick, it's an awesome party trick, because whenever there's a Guitar Hero set up at someone's house, I'm an absolute beast at it. The problem is I've put in so many hours playing Guitar Hero that I look back and I say, gee, I really wish I spent all that time playing a real guitar, and then I'd actually be like pretty damn good at it. But the second hidden talent of mine is I've actually been playing table tennis for 11 years now. And it's a fascinating sport simply because I can lose to an 8-year-old Asian who the young boy will train 5-6 nights a week, 4 hours every day. I can also lose to like a 75-year-old woman or man. It's a sport where age isn't really a factor. People are just insanely good regardless of the age spectrum.
It's funny. Last week at the youth theatre that I run, we like to talk about morals and values of the scripts that we perform to get the kids thinking about life stuff. And we spoke about talents and skills, and we unpacked the idea that talents are something that you're born with and skills are something that you can learn and you can equip yourself. And one of the leaders there gave an example that one of my talents is just I have a wonderful way of just being witty. I don't know how I do it, but I think I have this Mr. Bean kind of quality.
Oh, yeah.
Just walk into
that.
A room and just do something funny, and I don't really intend to, but I look funny anyway. And I was on a tram one day. I was leaving. I was seeing a friend in hospital, and I was going back to Flinders Street, and I don't know why I called him a friend, but this little boy looked at me. He was with his whole family, and he whispered to his dad, "Hey, Dad, it's Mr. Bean." And then the whole family just stared at me and just waited for me to do something.
Yeah.
So I rolled with it. I went, "Oh, hello," and did the whole thing, and they thought it was hilarious. Yeah, the whole tram was in hysterics.
Yeah, it's very bizarre because I felt when I was going to meet your family for the first time, Tom, that everyone would be overly witty and quirky, but not really. And it makes me wonder where you got that from.
I don't know.
It's come down the family tree.
Possibly.
Somewhere. We're working out how to put on the best show we can here at Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. And so is Donny Binet working out.
Good morning, Melbourne. You have tuned in at a really great time because we have Nelson Jeffrey in the studio. He's a multimedia art maker and has an exhibition coming up later this week. So, hello, Nelson.
Welcome, hi, how are you going?
Welcome.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So, we're a little bit curious about your artistic background. So, would you be able to run us through that?
Yeah, sure. So, for about the last 10 years, I've been working in abstract media. So, working primarily in just non-figurative work. The idea behind this, I find it quite honest work. So instead of having a figure and taking away from the emotional aspects by relating it to something, I like to sort of have no association and just let the mind kind of take over and like create something out of nothing, basically. Basically, I use mixed media. In saying that, I'll use pencils, pens, charcoal, anything I can get my hands on, really. Also, I'd use different types of media. So, for instance, on this new exhibition, I'm using a CNC cut panel, which I used to put the lines in AutoCAD, then put into a program, and then that's cut through a CNC router. Atop that is put on like epoxy glass. So basically, that's just a two compound thing which will mix together, put in different dyes, and then that'll set clear on top of it.
That's awesome. Do you reckon half of the art itself, as someone who's studied art as well, do you reckon half of the art is the process of the art making procedure?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's a huge part. I mean, my granddad, who was also a sculptor, used to say just the aspect behind what you do is just, it's huge. Like, he used to pour bronzes and that would take up 50% of his time. It's just melting down the metal and then pouring it and doing that whole process is huge.
Sure.
Definitely.
So do you have any sort of themes that you focus on in your art?
Yeah.
So is there anything that you sort of deal with specifically, maybe personal or as a commentary?
Yeah, sure. So I'd sort of describe my work as meditative. Basically, when I'm drawing, I don't like to think too much. So I find when I'm very critical of my work, it slows me down and I don't create the best results. I find when I'm very in a good mood and I'm not thinking too much, this creates great work for me, something that really works. So I try not to think at all. That's probably the biggest thing for me, really.
Now, Crooked Fist is where your work's going to be exhibited.
Yes.
And that's coming up on Friday. What was it like to be involved in this showcase, especially with such a diverse range of artists that are going to be there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a learning experience from the start, been ups and downs and, yeah, gone everywhere, which is great. But, yeah, also coming to Melbourne, this is my first show over here. So, you know, just meeting all these great people and just putting all this stuff together, it's been really amazing, especially having the whole sound aspect as well. So creating this sort of sound aspect for the blindfolded aspect of the exhibition's been really interesting as well.
Mm. Now, that's quite an interesting part of the exhibition. I was reading about it, and the idea that you want to let your guests come in, you want to blindfold them and listen to the sound. What kind of mood and sensation are you wanting your viewers and listeners to go in with?
Yeah, so basically, the whole idea behind this desensitization process is when someone comes in off the street and they go into an exhibition, I think they bring a lot of sort of baggage along with them. I think they bring their judgments and their ideas from the street into the art gallery. They look at the art and they think based on what they've thought the whole day, which might be good, might be bad. But if I take that person, I blindfold them when they come in, put them into a room, have this desensitization process with the soundscape, so that'll be a repetitive sort of sound with some like interest behind it, aimed to just take them away a little bit, like to create something odd, and then the blindfold will be taken off into like a visually stimulating environment, so having projectors set up as well as some projections on artworks, same sort of thing, and then there'll be two actors on either side of the room. They will then interact with these actors, and then ultimately they're going to make a decision. And based on that decision, they enter through one way or the other into the exhibition.
Mm. Wow.
No, that sounds...
I like it.
Yeah, no, it's actually really interesting because I feel like this sort of usage of, like, multiple forms of art in lots of the mediums, one exhibition is a fairly recent thing, if you get what I mean. Like, sort of having actors and, like, visual art and... or audio soundscapes all in the one exhibition. I feel like that was something that I definitely found out when I went down to Dark Mofo earlier this year. There were a lot of exhibitions that were like that, and they were quite unlike anything I'd ever seen before. So I guess I just want your take on this, Nelson. Do you think that exhibitions like these are sort of the way to go in the future?
Yeah, I mean, definitely for this exhibition, it's definitely a selling point. So it's a way not only to desensitize and create that whole aspect, which I guess is the biggest thing, but it also creates interest. And it's something I think people will talk about this after it's done, which I think will be good.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I guess, as you were kind of saying, in your art-making process, when you think about what you're going to make and you're in a good mood, that's when you produce your best work.
Yep.
Is there a particular medium? I guess, is there a medium that you are drawn to quite easily, and is there a medium that you're also challenged by?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's always a lot of the typical ones of just paint and pens, which I've, you know, I've been doing that for a long time, so for me to use that, I'm quite familiar with the techniques and what will happen with it. Saying that, I'm always sort of pushing it and, like, you know, the lines, how they intersect and sort of all of that stuff is always going to be a challenge. But moving into different types of media, like, you know, the epoxy glass, something I've never used before, you know, just, you know, having a go with that, it's great. It's really interesting. I like a challenge. I think it's the idea behind what I do. And I'll find anything and give it a shot and just experiment. And then whatever works will go into the final result.
For sure.
Nelson, do you get to have a bit of a chat with people while you're at the exhibition in terms of, like, what's your take on getting feedback, especially when you put your heart and soul into some of this artwork that's going to be on display?
Yep.
Are you available for people to mention what they think about it, or?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I will be pretty busy, but, you know, I will definitely get a chance to talk to some people. I mean, that's huge for me as an artist, just hearing about what people think about my art and just how they react to it. I mean, I've had some experience in the past through the exhibitions I've put on, and, you know, just hearing what people think is huge for me. I love it. I love to hear. Even if it's really bad, it's good.
Well, we thank Nelson so much for joining us. Nelson Jeffrey joining us here. It's all about Crooked Fist. You can definitely catch the art exhibition. It's coming up very, very soon. It's on Friday, and it sounds absolutely amazing.
Good morning, Melbourne. You are tuning into Sin 90.7, Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Hello.
Hello.
G'day.
That track has actually sidetracked me a bit because it was so good. Arctic Monkeys, Do I Want to Know?
Yeah.
We had Nelson Jeffrey in the studio before, and he talked about an exhibition that he's got on later this week, and it seems really interesting.
It does. It really is amazing just how much is in Melbourne. Like, in one show, we've had two comedians on the air, we've had an art maker. There's plenty going on.
What more could you want?
Mm. So you can catch his exhibition, Crooked Fist, at Lupine Studios on Sydney Road in Coburg. It's free entry, and it's running from Friday until Saturday or Sunday. All the links will be up on our Facebook page, and we'll also have information on Instagram as well. So, yeah. But for now, we are doing a quiz. We are going back to the news. Yeah. You're listening to Sin 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram.
Thank you, April, for the news. And quick questions here. We're going to go to the quiz very soon, but I want to ask you, do you have a specialist topic of your own? There's something you're very passionate about?
I think my go-to specialist subjects are usually, could be a TV show. Me and my sister have always been big Modern Family fans.
Awesome.
And we've got all the DVDs at home. It's just one of the series that we always go back and rewatch when we've got nothing to do.
It's one of those shows where there's a character archetype in there, almost caricature on par, where everybody can be relatable to one of those people.
Yeah, I think so. And it's always good. It's just a bit lighthearted, some good entertainment, and it never really gets old.
It's really, really good. And I always look back at that show and have lots of good fun as well. And you could say this morning we're roaring like a fire. And this next track is called Fire. It's by Pinky and Duck. You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Get Serial with Ben,
Tom
and Bram
on Sin 90.7.
Hello. You're listening to Sin 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram. That was 7 Years by Lucas Graham, and we also had Fire by Peking Duck. But now, it's time for the quiz.
It's quiz time.
Doctor Who.
Metallica.
Adult Swim.
WWE.
Steam Train.
BoJack Horseman.
The Simpsons.
You got a bit of a sneaky teaser there to what the quiz in question might be this week. In the hot seat, it's Ben Holt, and his specialist topic is none other than the metal band Metallica.
Now, Ben, yes.
Tell us why Metallica is the go-to for you?
Metallica, an interesting one. They're pretty much that gateway band. When someone says to you, I want to know what heavy metal is, you have to start them on either Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, or Metallica.
It's and up there,
I think for the 80s, Metallica was undoubtedly the one. And the 90s, perhaps.
Absolutely. And Ben, are you excited? Are you going to get every question right?
I know a lot about this band, but at the same time, to get 10 questions right, I'm not sure. But we're going to give it a try. I'm actually a little nervous, so here we go.
Now, the way this works is we have buzzers for correct and incorrect. The correct buzzer will be this.
Yes.
I love it.
And the incorrect buzzer will be this.
No!
There we go. Luke Skywalker there from Star Wars and Mr. Burns from The Simpsons fame. Now, Bram is going to take us for the first 5 questions. Ben, are you ready?
Yes.
Yep, let's go. I'm ready.
All right, we here at the Sin Studios, and I'm pretty sure those listening throughout Melbourne are wishing you the best of luck.
They are.
Thank you. I'm going to need it.
Hearty pat on the back.
Yeah. Going to need it. Here we go. Okay.
Name the original 4 members of Metallica.
Oh, okay. So they formed in 1981. So we got James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, who are still with the group today. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth fame now. And I think it was Ron McGovney on the bass.
Yes.
That's correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey, alrighty.
And he went the extra mile and said that they formed in 1981, which I didn't say, but was on the question sheet.
No, because they're arguably the first band to kick off the thrash metal movement.
Yeah,
I remember it was 81.
Cool. What's the 10th track off of 1997's Reload album?
The 10th? Jeez. 10th track. You know what? This is sad. I think I know this. Prince Charming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Crazy.
Absolutely blitzing through these at the moment. Who was thought of to replace James Hetfield on vocals for the 1984 album Ride the Lightning?
This is crazy when I read this. John Bush, who was actually of Anthrax fame, he joined the band Anthrax in the mid-90s. He was rumoured to replace James because James was not feeling too confident in his vocal abilities. So I think it's John Bush.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
There we go.
You're right. Oof. Still a lot to go. Here we go.
I have some really... this is a tough act to follow. I'm kind of worried for next week, but
Tom, if we go back last week, got 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
On Thomas and Friends.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty good. I must admit, I've been a bit humble for a tick.
Mm. On to the next question now. Who plays bass on 2003's Saint Anger album?
Yes. Now, I think it's Bob Rock, because Robert Trujillo, while he was a member, I think he came in just after the album.
That's correct.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think I'm not right.
Oh, wow. What is James Hetfield's middle name?
Middle
name.
I'm going to have to take a stab. I think Paul.
No!
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 Ben.
Oh.
You were doing so well.
Yeah,
what was the answer to that question?
The answer to that question was Alan. His name's James Alan Hetfield.
Alan. Nah, would not have known that.
No. You're still on a pretty good run, though.
So far,
yeah,
so good.
Yeah, 4 out of 5 isn't too bad.
Alan, there you go.
Alan!
Very nice.
For you Alan fans
Alan,
out there.
Alan!
Shout out to those in the Alan fandom.
The Alan family. Yeah. There we go. Question 6. How many songs are featured on 1996 album Load?
14.
Is it 14?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well done, well done.
Yeah, I think it's... I've heard these albums so many times, I think I know roughly how many tracks are on each one.
Can they just play in your head?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great when that happens.
Yeah.
When you reach that point in life. Question 7. Jason Newsted was the Metallica bassist from what years?
Oh, he was. He replaced Cliff Burton after his tragic death in 86, I believe, and went through till 2000.
No!
You were so close.
Fill me in on that one.
Okay, so he did start off with 86, but he ended in 2001.
Oh! Jeez, I was close there. Okay. No.
All right, you might have better luck on the next question.
Yeah.
How many years between the albums Deaf Magnetic to Hardwired to Self-Destruct?
Oh, I know this because I had to wait patiently for the follow-up. I think it was about 8 years.
Yes.
Well done, you redeemed yourself there.
Oh, lucky.
Second last question. Who was the composer behind the San Francisco Orchestra in Symphony and Metallica concert?
You know, it's interesting. I mentioned the sad, tragic death of the bassist, but also the composer who put this concert together. He's also passed away since. No. It was Michael Kamen, because it was all over the front of the DVD.
Yes.
Well done. Now, let's see how you go with this last question.
Okay.
How many Metallica songs are featured in their video game Guitar Hero Metallica, including downloadable songs?
I feel like there's about 28, 29 on the disc, but then there was the 35?
No!
So 37. Close. Oh, gosh. No, that's okay.
Ben,
tricky question.
You did well. You got 7 out of 10 on your Metallica quiz.
Which means that you're still on the leaderboard for the quiz so far. Mm. I mean, there's only been two of us.
Thank you. But how do you feel after completing the quiz?
It wasn't as embarrassing as it could have been, considering it's a specialist topic. But at the same time, I've missed a couple by a year or a couple of numbers.
Next time.
I feel like
time.
If anything, that makes it a little less embarrassing, though. Like, you didn't sort of take a stab in the dark with those ones.
Yeah.
Or I was like, oh, you're off by 10 years. No, that didn't happen.
No,
so,
no.
Like, yeah, no, congrats.
Try to give it my best. Well, it's only for the best that we do play a Metallica track after all this. Let's jump in the fire. We're going back to the first album, Kill 'Em All, 1983. Jump in the fire, Metallica, right here on Sin 90.7.
Hello, you're listening to Sin 90.7. That was Metallica, their track from their first album,
Jump in the Fire.
And it's funny, we've had a few songs with the word fire in it, so you could say we're quite a fiery crew indeed. And we'll be riding Chariots of Fire into the week as we look ahead. Fellas, what are we looking forward to?
It's one of those weeks. There's a lot happening. Seeing another Drake show on Friday night.
Oh, fantastic.
That'll be, I think, the 11th or 12th time I've seen them this year. So shout out to those boys. That'll be a lot of fun. Also on the Friday, Crooked Fist. We just had Nelson Jeffrey in taking us through the process of being an art maker and putting on an expo.
Mm.
I very much look forward to checking that out as well, as do you, Bram.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out. I actually met Nelson only a few weeks ago, and he was talking about this exhibition. I just was really intrigued by it. So it's something that I've been looking forward to for quite a while now. I also did mention really early on in the show that I moved out on Friday.
Woo!
So I guess, like, not just for this week, but I guess for quite a while, I'm adjusting to that and getting stuff in my room because I still don't have a desk.
Oh, okay.
I work from my bed.
Hopefully you find a desk soon.
Look,
I'm really looking forward to Crooked Fist as well, but I'm also going to be going down to see Innes versus Lloyd, which you can see at the Butterfly Club 6:30 tonight. It's going to be great. That's going till Saturday, so that's going to be heaps of fun. Looking forward to seeing both Rob Lloyd and David Innes. I'm still undecided on who I'm voting for, but I'll have to go down and see them.
Well, yeah, you're just going to have to see who can outperform the other one and be fair and cast your vote.
Absolutely.
It's going to be on.
Absolutely.
It's going to be good stuff.
And Crooked Fist is also running from Friday to Saturday. It's up at Lupine Studios, 31 Sydney Road in Coburg. You can check the information for that on Facebook. There's an event page. Well, there's an event page on there at the moment. And yeah, it's free entry, so don't bring any cash with you.
And the same for Innes Lloyd. If you want to find more information about their show, go onto the Butterfly Club website, or you can find their Facebook event, Innes versus Lloyd.
It's been one of those Get Serial Tuesdays. It's been mental as anything. We're going to live it up here with Mental as Anything, and they're playing at the Meredith Music Festival coming up.
Thank you for tuning in. This has been Ben, Tom and Bram for Get Serial Tuesdays.
We'll catch you next week.
See ya.
This has been a Get Serial podcast.
Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.